Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Feel free to download these audio files and share them with your friends and family. Please consider joining our virtual community and supporting our efforts for the kingdom by clicking on the support tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
Psalm 21, to the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exalts. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips, Selah. For you meet him with rich blessings. You set a crown of fine gold upon his head. He asked life of you. You gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. This is our key verse today. He asked life of you. You gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. On the night that he was betrayed, our master lingered long in prayer, beseeching God in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this itself is something of a puzzle. What was he praying about? Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Not exactly what we might expect. I mean, wasn't this his destiny? One might even say he was born for this mission, to go to the cross, to go to his death as a martyr and atonement for sin, to obtain favor through the unmerited suffering of the righteous, his righteousness, and to save the nation and open the way for salvation. Wasn't that the whole purpose? Wasn't that the whole point? And if that was the whole purpose, then why did he say, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me? If his whole purpose was to die, why was he asking not to die? The book of Hebrews comes and says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. So what was he praying? It says he was asking for life from the one who was able to save him from death. This is in fulfillment of the verse in Psalm 21 that says, he asked life of you, you gave it to him, length of days, forever and ever. Such an important verse. The Talmud uses this verse as a proof text behind the eschatological legend that says that when Messiah, son of Joseph, dies in the war with Gog and Magog, Messiah, son of David, asks God for the power of resurrection to resurrect him from the dead. The book of Hebrews says, although Yeshua was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. This is relevant to Torah portion Kitavo, which presents the blessings that Israel can obtain for obedience to the Torah's commandments, on the one hand, and the curses which will befall the nation for disobedience, on the other. Naturally, the curses and the blessings are direct opposites. They stand in antithesis to one another. The blessings for life, good health, fertility, security, agricultural abundance, stability in the land, are reversed in the list of curses, which promises death, sickness, infertility, invasion, agricultural failure, deportation, and exile from the land. Moses sums up the two possibilities in two words in the next Torah portion when he says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. And when he says, I have set before you life and death, he is referring to the blessings and the curses. And when he says, therefore choose life, it means choose the path of repentance and keeping the Torah's commandments so that you will merit to receive the blessings that God has promised. Those blessings are a description of the future messianic age, the kingdom of heaven, when King Messiah comes and sits on the throne of David. Then all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, Deuteronomy 28:2. And all the blessings that God has promised will be fulfilled, and the Lord will make Israel the head and not the tail. But we don't need to wait until the kingdom comes to experience God's blessing in our lives here, now, today, in this world, in this present age. So Moses says, therefore choose life that you and your offspring may live. And this explains why our master in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed to the one who was able to save him from death and asked him for life, because he had the mitzvah to choose life. He foresaw the future. He foresaw the coming exile. He said, "If you are willing, take this cup from me. Not my will, but yours be done." But his will was to choose life. So it says in the Psalms, "He asked life of you. You gave it to him, length of days, forever and ever." The 40 days of repentance are a difficult season when our adversary does his best to soil us before the holy days, to bring division and strife, to bring discouragement, to trap us in his snares before the high holy days. He goes about as a roaring lion during these days, seeking whom he may devour. He shoots his fiery darts, disguises himself as an angel, and lays all manner of temptation before us. But the apostles say, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Though we walk through the valley overshadowed by death, the death-dark valley, we need fear no evil. We only need to choose life. As we prepare for the high holidays, we have been encouraging you to take upon yourself the serious mitzvah of taking care of your health. We are learning about the path of Maseret Nefesh, self-discipline, self-control, and the power of fasting, which is the power of delaying gratification, in an effort to fulfill the verse that says, "While bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." This is a if-then-how-much-more-so type of statement. If bodily training is of some value in giving us health and life in this present life, how much more so is godliness of value, promising health and life in the present and in the world to come? And out of this verse, we have our theme, train yourself for godliness, and we're talking about taking care of your physical health. It's a mitzvah. Aaron has spoken to you about it. I have spoken to you about it. Toby has spoken to you about it. What does it mean to take care of your health? Obviously, you can't control your health. I wish we could, but we can't. Our health is always a gift from Hashem. It's in His hands. We even see that in our Torah portion where it says that under the blessings for obedience, God promises health. But under the curses, He promises all the diseases of Egypt. This is the meaning of the verse in Exodus 15:26, where it says, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer." Or try Deuteronomy 7:15. "The Lord will take away from you all sicknesses and none of the evil diseases of Egypt which you knew will he inflict on you." So we learn here that the most important thing that you can do to take care of your health, to take care of your physical body, is to repent, to keep the commandments, to walk in humble obedience to Hashem, to do that which is right in His eyes, and to give heed to His commandments. That's the secret to good health. That's choosing life. I mean, who would intentionally place themselves under the curses? Even our master, of whom it says, "He became accursed for us, when he took upon himself the curse, did not choose the curse, but rather chose life, as it says, he asked life of you." But it does not make any sense at all to say, "I will just concern myself with spiritual things and let God take care of my health. God will then protect my body and take care of my health." Not only is that lazy, but it's defying the mitzvah, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." You might as well say, "Since I am keeping the mitzvahs and relying on Hashem to take care of my health, I am going to go skydiving without a parachute because, after all, my health is in God's hands." Hashem takes a very dim view of that type of behavior. And it's exactly the type of thing the adversary suggested. "Throw yourself down from this height, as it is written. He will not let your foot strike against the stone." Notice that even the adversary had a scripture verse to support the idea of acting irresponsibly and trusting Hashem to compensate for bad choices. But it doesn't work like that with God. That's why we have the commandment, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test," which is how Yeshua answered the adversary. What does it mean not to test God? It means that we don't rely upon a miracle. You don't intentionally put yourself in a dangerous situation and rely upon Hashem to perform a miracle. It says in the Talmud, because perhaps there will be no miracle. And besides, we already know that the world doesn't work like that. Especially while the exile endures, God is concealed, and the righteous do suffer and get sick, the wicked prosper. Here's a righteous person who has been struck with a debilitating disease. Here's an unworthy person who seems to go through life untouched by malady. So don't suppose that just because someone has a health problem, they committed some sin. Instead, good health is a gift that Hashem owes to no one. But in the kingdom, disease will be eradicated because God will be revealed and we will walk in His ways, and then we will know what it means when He says, "The Lord will take away from you all sickness, and none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which you knew, will He inflict on you." That's the future. That's the kingdom. So it's our goal to lay hold of that future today, take hold of the bread of tomorrow today. What have we learned so far? We've learned that the best thing you can do to take care of yourself and to take care of your health is the Torah, to repent and obey God and walk in His commandments. That is godliness, which is of value in every way. But that has to be in addition to making the effort yourself. Bodily training is of some value. Some people have mentioned to me that since we began this series, they have taken me up on the challenge to start intermittent fasting or trying the one meal a day plan. And it's paying off. It's paying off for them. With God's help, this is not like any other diet or weight loss plan. It's far easier, and it's the biblical approach. And the best part about the fasting approach is that it's sustainable, meaning that you can not only lose the weight, but it gives you the tools to keep it off. And in the future, but even better than the positive benefits of losing a little bit of weight, you'll find that the self-discipline from the effort of daily fasting spills over into other areas of life, resulting in more godliness in other areas. How do we take care of our bodies? I'll tell you what John the Immerser would say. He would say, "Let the one who eats junk learn to eat fresh fruit and vegetables. Let the one who eats too much learn to fast. Let the one who is overweight learn to fast, for I must decrease that he may increase. Let the one who drinks too much learn to drink water. Let the one who smokes tobacco learn to breathe clean air. Let the one who is sedentary learn to exercise and get a membership at the gym. Let the one who is lethargic learn to go to the gym. Let the one who stays up too late learn to go to bed earlier. And let the one who sleeps in too late learn to get up earlier." It seems to me a bit hypocritical to ask God for money and for financial help if I'm spending money foolishly and throwing it away. Likewise, it seems a bit hypocritical to ask God to sustain my health if I'm making no effort to do so. I imagine God coming and asking me, "What happened to the money I gave you last month? What did you spend that already? That was for this month." It's like the parable of the talents. What did you do with what you've already been entrusted? Yeshua says, "He who is faithful with a little will be entrusted with much," right? Okay, the same principle applies to health. It seems hypocritical to ask God for life and length of days in the world to come, eternal life, if I'm making no effort to achieve life and length of days with the life that He's already given me. I'm asking God for life in the world to come, but He's saying, "What about the life I've already given you? Isn't that valuable to you?" I have my own motive here for asking you to take better care of your health. As your pastor, as your congregational leader here at Beth Emmanuel, I am part of the Chevra Kedisha. I know, it's a secret society and it's supposed to be a secret, but you probably already knew that I'm on the Chevra anyway, because I'm responsible for burying. It's in the job description of every pastor, marrying and burying, right? But I don't want to bury anyone. God forbid that we ever have to do another funeral. At Beth Emmanuel, we are all family members, and we care about each other, and we love each other. And with all these weddings, we're all related to each other too. But we have this common bond of the love of Messiah, and we care about each other's spiritual and physical health and welfare. And that's why we take the time to pray for the sick, and we have a prayer team who prays for the sick. We don't want to lose anyone. Here's my prayer for all of you. I ask life of God. I ask that He gives you life, length of days, forever and ever, and that you experience the power of resurrection at work in your body even now, as it says in Isaiah, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. So maybe you don't feel inspired to take care of yourself for your own sake. Well, then do it for my sake and for your community's sake. But if not for the community's sake, do it for the Master's sake. It's a matter of choosing life. I'm 50 years old now. 15 years ago, when I turned 35, I felt much older than I do today. Because 15 years ago, I could not run around the block without getting seriously winded. I was sick, fat, and nearly dead. Sure, I was piously studying Torah, around the clock, writing Torah clubs and so forth, but not taking care of myself. And it was worse and worse from Sabbath to Sabbath. As it says in the Torah, this son of ours is a glutton and a drunkard. I mean, it sneaks up on you, doesn't it? You put on a few pounds here and a few pounds there, not a big deal. But week after week and year after year, put on 5 or 10 pounds over the course of a year. And what does that look like over 20 years? But if you could feel the difference of what it's like to get up in the morning and feel great and feel optimistic and positive about the day, rather than feeling like you just want to go back to bed and you don't want to move, or you just want to stay planted on the couch. That's just the benefit of regular exercise. That's eating right. Such simple things that make such huge differences in your experience of life. And they make a huge difference in your daily energy level, your enthusiasm for life, your enthusiasm for work, for study, because you just feel good. I mean, you think about it when you're sick, when you feel like death, and then you get better and you're like, wow, I feel so good just not to feel terrible. And you realize how good it feels just to be healthy. That's what it's like. So I'm asking you to choose life and not death. To choose the blessing and not the curse. And as much as it's in your power to do so, as much as it's in your power to do so. You're already crippled by various ailments, bad health, incurable disease. Okay, fine. You're still responsible to do whatever you can to improve your health as much as you can in whatever your situation is. Because life is a gift from God. Don't waste it. More precious is 1 hour of repentance and good deeds in this world than the whole life of the world to come. Follow in the footsteps of our Master, who chose life, asked for life, received life, and let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Yeshua, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
And learn from me, and find rest for your soul.